Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 569, I'm welcoming to the show comedian Tim Hawkins.
If we're talking about parental wisdom, we weren't bogged down in results. Yeah, we cared about whether to make the decisions, but so many parents around us, they were raised and following some of this philosophy that was very results driven. And if it doesn't, then by goodness, we're going to make sure they turn into this. And that is just a recipe for disaster. So we didn't give them much to rebel against. We didn't freak out when they started to have doubts. God is big enough to answer our questions. And I think, find it. Ask questions until you're blue in the face. And I think that's part of it.
Tim Hawkins has been doing clean comedy for over 30 years. He started off in youth groups and open mic nights and is now performing 90-minute sets in front of huge audiences. He's a committed family man. And in this episode, he chats more about his journey and shares really vulnerably, which I appreciate, some of the harder parts of this whole career choice and when he had to kind of step back and the timing of that. You've got to hear all of that. He's a dad to four and a granddad, and you'll want to hear a conversation about his granddad names. If you still are like, I know Tim Hawkins, how do I know that name? Maybe you know his song parodies, whether it's the Chick-fil-A song or Cletus Take the Reel, which is an ode to fishing based off Carrie Underwood's classic, or his most streamed song, which is Pretty Pink Tractor. Definitely go to the show notes and look up his YouTube channel and check out his new comedy special on Amazon Prime called Fist Bump. Especially if you're in your late 40s, early 50s, you are going to relate and laugh, which, you know, that is Tim's main goal, is to make people laugh as hard as humanly possible. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Tim, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
What a great idea. Don't Mom Alone.
Don't do it.
Don't do anything alone.
That's probably true.
Come on. Why? Why? People are so great, aren't they? People are just so great. And other mothers are so great. And it's like, you know, it's, what are you doing? I'm doing this. It's not working. Yeah.
Sometimes they're great.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can be a challenge. But yeah, we shouldn't do anything alone. One mom asked if she could make t-shirts that said, don't homeschool alone. I'm like, sure. Whatever you want to do. Do it.
Yeah. You wonder without all this social media, like how did moms do it in the past? And I guess I think that we definitely had different neighborhoods. I think we had other moms that were very concerned, or that's why I say neighborhood watch used to be the neighbors would watch us. they were watching for criminals, they were watching us.
And what's Susie up to this afternoon?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it'd be great if we could get a little more back to that, but I guess we have to do the best we can with what we've been given, you know?
Yeah. So. We got to pivot. Mm-hmm. It's a different way to do it, but for sure. Yeah. I mean, talking to women who were in their 80s, it was like, oh, I'd have my friend over and we'd fold laundry together. And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening.
No. And they're also smoking two packs of cigarettes and, you know, talking about, is their husband coming back from the war? I don't know. They were a different breed.
It's a different time.
Pretty tough skin.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a different time, I'm sure people who have been following you for your three decades, that's a long time. Let's talk about that. Are curious, like, how did you even get started? Because in my mind, you were the first clean comedian I'd ever heard of. I saw you at an auction for an adoption agency or something. Yeah. And that was about 20 years ago. So tell me more about your journey. Like, you're in college. When did you start doing stand-up?
Yeah, I started, I was in college. I was a baseball player. I played at University of Missouri, and I had had about enough of that. I played all my life, and I kind of realized that this is, it's kind of phasing out. And also, I really wasn't a huge fan of school. I knew I wasn't dumb, but I knew that I didn't like this iteration of what this was. So, my coach came up to me one day and he said, Hawkins, I got your grades. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, they weren't there. I guess you have to go to class and take the test to, you know, to be able to play sports. And I said, Coach, I can't do this anymore. So really, somewhere in the back of my head, I knew that this was the comedy somewhere in my future, but there's no school for that. There's no manual for that. It's like, how does that even work? You know? So I just wanted a girlfriend. I want to stop hanging around a bunch of baseball players. I want a girlfriend. I want some regular friends and enjoy my life. And so that kind of set me off on a, you know, that was in the early 90s where I started doing a little bit of open mic nights at comedy clubs. But then I'd go over to this youth group guy would give me an hour. Can you survive with my youth group for an hour? And just got me, I started getting in front of groups of people and just hashing it out, you know, trying to figure it out. And I think ignorance is bliss. If I would have known how bad I was back in the beginning, I would have quit a long time ago. But I also was very desperate. I was always very, it's not that I didn't have a lot of other skills. It's just, this is really what I wanted to do in some way.
Yeah. So. Well, and were youth groups familiar? Did you grow up going to church and being a part of a youth group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. I did. I had a very positive church experience. A lot of comedians don't. That's why they're kind of anti-God, really, because they had a bad, and you can't really blame them. I mean, if they see hypocrisy and don't really feel love and don't really get to meet Christ, who he really is, it's, I can totally understand that. But I had a good, grew up in the church. It wasn't like we were every week people. I mean, we go to the Baptist church one week and then we go to the charismatic church the next week. So, and as a kid, I could sleep through any denomination. That was my joke. I could sleep through, you know, they had the grape juice at the Baptist church and they had the real wine at the charismatic church. And I became familiar with all those environments and I liked them. I mean, it was fun as a kid. There's always stuff for us to do. And, we knew the boundaries and, you know, what not to do. And, it was a very positive experience for me. So,
well, and then you can tell the jokes where you can poke fun at all the different denominations because you've seen them. You've been in.
Yeah, exactly. And done shows in them now, too. It's really weird now. It's kind of hard. Back in the day, you could tell what building you're in. Oh, these are Methodists or these are whatever. And now it's kind of hard to tell. It's kind of meshed. It's kind of the way cars look. They all look the same now.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are people. And that's what I learned about doing comedy early on. It's like I do corporate events. And it's not just a bunch of people in suits. It's just real people. You know, it's the same as church. It's just they have families and frustrations and, you know, goals and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, you just hit them where they are. I mean, with that, like, since you did get the opportunity in the youth groups when you're starting out in the 90s, and it's like, obviously, when you're entertaining the youth group, you're having to keep it clean. But did you keep finding like this was because it was? I mean, do you know of anybody else who was doing what you were doing?
Very few. I mean, you had like a guy named Mark Lowry. He was a comedian. There's a guy named Ken Davis who was doing it. And these guys were, you know, like Mark Lowry was a singer, but then like in between he was waiting for tracks to be played for his next song, he would tell stories. So he would tell more stories and then do less music and he'd turn more and, you know, became more comedy driven. Ken Davis, guys like that, a lot of them were speakers. They were speakers, but they were funny. Mm-hmm. They could do kind of both. And that's the way a lot of guys in I think the church kind of get into comedy is they're doing something else like magic or whatever they're doing tricks or, and they just don't want to take as many of the, you know, the props along with them. They say, hey, you know, it's a lot easier if I just show up and talk.
Yeah. I got that mouth thing I take with me everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very simple and it's pretty amazing that you'll see, like with a comedian, like the night before they had this huge band come in and they have all these pieces and all this crew. Whereas comedian, they have, you know, just one microphone and that's it. And a stool and a bottle of water. But that kind of proves that comedy is pretty universal. I mean, and that's one thing that I learned too in doing these special events was comedy is, I would do a ton of just banquets. Oh, we're going to have some food and they're going to have an auction and then some guy is going to speak. And if this guy shows up and he's funny, then they're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah. And we're going to give more money. We'll give more money to the cause because we're in a good mood. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, so whereas music, you may not have people, half the people may not like that style of music you're doing or whatever, but comedy seemed to hit on more.
Well, you brought up music and I'm, I'm curious about your journey into songwriting. Like, had you always played guitar, or was that something you picked up as you were on these tours and you had time, or what's your story with that?
I started playing the same time. I mean, mom had me doing piano lessons as a kid, and I would just sit there like, how is Turkey in the Straw going to take me anywhere? How is this mumbo jumbo going to do anything? And I didn't really understand it. But yeah, when I started, I came, became like, I was about 21. I left school and then I bought a guitar and then I started doing comedy. So I kind of learned at the same time. And then in the church gigs, I found out that music, cause you're doing all ages, like if you do a gig at a church, so music has a way of
kind of bridging the gap.
Yeah. Adding some energy to it. And it really worked well. Plus I just love music. I was very good air guitar for a long time in my life, quite the good air guitar player. And then something in my brain was like, why don't you just learn it? Why don't you just actually learn how to play? And what's happened is that the thing about traveling is that you have a lot of downtime, and the boredom is the biggest issue, you know? And so I said, oh, I'm going to take this time and just learn this stuff. And I taught myself piano and I bought a mandolin a while back. I'm learning that and using it in the show. So
that's fun.
Yeah. You have to learn how to travel well. If you don't, it's going to be boring and really tedious. And, you just have to be prepared to do that. So
in today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
And you're married to another Heather. There's a lot of us born at this time, at that time. Not
that
anymore.
Big, yeah.
Not
right.
Not any 2-year-old Heathers I've met. but the 70s, 60s, we were top.
Right.
So when did you meet your Heather and y'all start your journey?
That was then when I left school, when I stopped going to Missouri, University of Missouri. Like I said, I knew I was an idiot. I didn't really know how to treat women. So I said, okay, that's it. I am just going to be friends. I'm going to learn how to treat people with respect and love. And then I met her just through a friend group. She was dating a buddy of mine. And I don't know. We just knew each other. Yeah. For a couple of years, I'd never met anybody like her. She was from California and I was from the Midwest. So she just had different sensibilities and a different kind of a life about her and just a way about her that I found it just set me free. And it was, you know, she had been married before, like early on, it didn't work out well. And so in that, she was not a game player. She's not about the drama.
No.
And I really found that refreshing and wonderful. Yeah, and that was 31 years ago. And
wow.
Yeah, I got four grandkids now. And
oh my stars. What's your grandpa name?
Yeah, Papa.
Okay.
Yeah, I had final say in that. I was like, it's they came up with Papa. I'm like, I'm good with that.
I heard a great one last night. I saw you know Jen Wilkin, the Bible teacher?
Sounds familiar.
Okay, so she's a Bible teacher, right? You think like real like Presbyterian-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Her grandma name is Sugar.
Sugar.
Shugs.
I love it.
That's a great grandma name. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, my wife says Honey. So it's Papa and Honey.
Aw, these are good.
I dig it. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, you don't want to live your whole life and then the rest of it is just you, this horrible grandparent name. That oh, the baby couldn't say grandpa. All he could say was boo boo doo doo. So now we all call him boo boo doo doo. Like, no, no.
Forever. Like, you don't ever get called Tim again. It's always boo boo doo boo. Remember when boo boo doo boo would go on stage and sing the Chick-fil-A song? Like, that's your legacy now. Okay. Well, you've definitely entertained all of us, and I'm sure, like, are your kids enthralled? Are they all in? I know you have a podcast now with one of your kids. And
yeah, I did for a while. Olivia, she got pregnant. So her and her husband had another baby. So it's like scheduling was a little crazy. Yeah. So, you know, if I was single and I had all the time in the world, I'd probably do 5 podcasts a week too. Yeah. And you need a producer, and there's a lot that goes in. You have to edit it. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I think my kids, as far as being, that's all they know is their dad was that does what I do.
Yeah.
And they're all just wonderful people, and they're funny in their own right. They're talented. I'm so entertained by my children and amazed at and watching them become parents themselves and following their path. And we were, Heather and I were talking about, it's like, how did our kids turn out so well? Cause it's not always like that, especially in the church. It's like, to people like, I did what I was supposed to do and now they're off the rails.
Yeah. I think I said that last week.
Really?
Yeah. Neil, I followed the formula. Wasn't I supposed to get this outcome? Yeah. No, I think I've said that. No, I mean, mine are still half baked. Like, we're not quite fully baked yet, but yeah, I think we're right in the teen years. It's good times over here. 4 boys. You have 3 boys or 4?
I have 3 boys and a girl. Yeah.
Figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. But, you know, we were talking about, I mean, I guess if we're talking about parental wisdom, we weren't bogged down in results. Yeah, we cared about whether to make the decisions, but so many parents around us, they were raised and following some of this philosophy that was very results driven. And if it doesn't, then by goodness, we're going to make sure they turn into this. And that is just a recipe for disaster. So we didn't give them much to rebel against. We didn't freak out when they started to have doubts. We didn't say, oh my gosh, it's like, you have to believe this. It's like, okay, if my son goes to college and he wants to follow some, oh, well, they said this and Jesus is just a story built up of all these other stories. I'm like, go after it. God is big enough to answer our questions. And I think, find it. Ask questions until you're blue in the face. And I think that's part of it. We supported our children. We're not going to be goofballs. It's like, you're not going to act like weirdos in our house. We're not going to allow that. But we love you. But
yeah. Were they like the wrestly type, those 3 boys? Because I just had a mom ask me that question. She's like, how do you handle all their wrestling? I'm like, I don't know. You just let them, like, give them space for it.
Oh, totally. And that's because one has the muscles, then another one's getting the muscles. And then the youngest one is totally getting the muscles. You're just like, here we go. And Heather's the one that she's got the feminine energy. Like, wait. Where I can kind of say, I can sit back and kind of know, like, okay. I know to step in. That's put down the lamp, whatever. You're strangling him. He can't breathe. Stop it.
It's like good until it's not and someone's bleeding. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like they say when somebody's being tickled, you're being tickled and it's really funny until it starts to be like, I think I'm going to die. I think you're killing me.
I think I've reached fight or flight and I'm going to punch you. Right. You don't stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you guys have, like you said, your kids turn out great. Like, do you have in your mind, like, this is what I would write in my comedy parenting book? I mean, we joked about it before we got on here.
Wow. It's kind of like with marriage, you can't write this stuff. Stuff like
it's like a rule, like it's like a do this and then things will turn out well for you. We just said, don't do that. Yeah.
I couldn't do that and feel like I was giving people good information. I mean, I feel like I've given maybe my children 3 bits of quality wisdom and I'm not lying. I cannot remember times where I gave them just some life-changing aha moment stuff. I believe that as a father, I think that proximity has a big thing to do with it. Just physically being there, which was one of the challenges of me traveling so much. It got to a point where my family was getting the scraps, and we were like, okay, what are we doing here? What? I'm gone. I'm doing 100 shows a year, and there is no balance. There is no balance. It's really hard. It's just very hard. And after a while, you can do the best you can, and then you're like, well, things need to change. So, I do about half the shows that I used to do now, and it's a good speed. And
it was you that was like, man, this is too much, or did your kids or Heather, did she say like, hey,
everybody, her, everybody, you know, something's wrong, but you look at your schedule and it's etched in stone. You're just like, man, you know, cause I really enjoy what I do. Yeah. I really do, but it's the travel that's the job, you know? And as what I do is I was the one writing all the material and coming up all, I had 13 employees and 2 tour buses and all these dates it just hit a point where it was more my body. My brain was like, all right, we're done. You may not feel like it, but I'm done. And I could start to see the ramifications of that, just little things that would pop up emotionally and, you know, and I'm going to be real honest with you, Heather. I was like, do I need to start taking drugs? Because I can't do this anymore. I can't get up for these shows. I can't write this material. I'm done. So what do I do? So we just, I just said, okay, we're going to close up shop.
And by drugs, you're not saying illicit or illegal.
Well, I'm saying whatever,
whatever can get me the energy I need to.
I mean,
going.
If you want to speak real stuff, I mean, that's what I'm, I mean, that, yeah. That's where it gets to. And I started to think about these rock stars.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how do you stay? It takes energy and it takes,
yeah.
It takes something that you get. If you don't have it, where are you going to get it?
And so then it does go down that path and you can see how these addictions start and
absolutely.
You're like, you're pushed to the end of yourself physically. And so you're like, I got to go explore those things.
Yeah, you do. And you're alone. You're in a different town. You got a pocket full of money. You can get into a lot of trouble and you can get into, you know, once again, you're lonely.
Yeah.
You're not really happy the way things are going. Yeah. Even though you're with people that you love, when you get stretched to a point where you know that the main things aren't the main things anymore, then good luck.
Yeah. No, that's very real. And I think even parents who are listening or moms who are listening, I mean, their husbands may not be in comedy, but there's a lot of guys out there traveling in this hardest season of the kids are young and it's a lot of pressure on the family. And so it's like decisions have to be made at some point and you don't want to get to a breaking point. So
yeah. So it's the best thing that ever happened. Yeah. My wife was like, you know, we actually separated in 2018. She's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Wow.
And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it really, really saved me. And I don't throw this around a lot, but I think God was on it. And he was working through her because, you know, we decided to shut the doors January 1st of 2020.
Wow.
And then the world really? Comes to it. I tell people that if I ever retire, the world's going to come to an end. They didn't believe me. We shut the doors January 1st, 2020.
Wow.
And then, got rid of everything by February. And then my friends started texting me. My comedian friends are like, dude, you picked a good time to step away.
Wow.
And, so.
Wow.
Dodged a big bullet on that one.
Yeah. Cause when you're expecting all that income and then it doesn't come, that's a whole nother.
Oh yeah.
Whole thing that a lot of in-person performers.
Very scary.
Yeah. That's very scary. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that hard part of your story, but it does make sense. Yeah. I was like, where did Tim Hawkins go? Where'd he go? And then I think I saw you interviewed with John Chris. Yeah. And then I saw you come up in my email because, Tim Hawkins, he's back and he's got a special, y'all, you can find on your local Amazon Prime. I don't know why I want to make all these funny voices. Is that your influence? I'm a chameleon. I can't help it. I
do the same thing. It's like when I'm talking to people. Right.
Gotta make all the faces.
You're mirroring. Well, where are you at right now? Where do
Dallas.
You live?
Dallas.
Dallas. Okay. So your accent is, I don't know. Are you from there originally? Uh-uh. Where are you from?
Are you going to guess? Is this a game?
I think you sound very Indiana, kind of middle America.
How did you know I was from? Did you do research before?
No, I did not. Okay. No, I didn't. I can tell though. Indiana. Well, that's, but what we people, us, like, I'm from Missouri, like,
yeah,
us Midwestern, when we're talking to someone in Texas, we'll get a little bit more drawly and say y'all a little bit more because I think we want to be liked. Yes. So
I don't know if I want to be liked. I do want to be liked, but I think it just happens. I studied in Oxford for a month and I had a British accent by the end of it. I couldn't help it. My kids make fun of me all the time. They're like, "Mom, will you stop? You're embarrassing yourself. This is
right.
You're not the person you think you are."
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
So you have a new special.
Yeah.
It is called Fist Bump. And y'all, I think he came up with that title before the famous new movie Project Hail Mary had the line, Fist my bump.
Okay, yes. I noticed that.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you once again. I mean, ahead of it. You knew.
Yeah.
This is going to be popular. And so I'm going to.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. Holy Spirit, discernment.
Yeah, it is. We watched that movie the other day and I kind of said, oh, nice. Well, it's really where the title comes from. I do a joke on coming out of COVID. You know, people would, if they didn't turn their back to you, my wife and I would be walking to the park during COVID and people would turn their backs to us. Like,
no.
It's just ridiculous. And it just plays on the, like, these guys who wouldn't shake your hand. They would just fist bump you. Like, that's somehow saving the world. Like, COVID can't get around the back of the knuckles, you know? So.
Wow.
But yeah. Yeah, I'm still doing it. I think, you know, I think the show is better now than it's ever been. I don't think I'm grinding anymore. I don't think I'm trying to prove myself as much. It's just more of me. There's nothing, no life-changing comedy material. It's just me doing observational stuff, and you know, you're just, but once again, I feel the show is better than it's ever been, and it's a lot more chill, just relaxed, and I just show up now. I don't own anything. I just show up and be charming as I can be. That's what my manager says. Show up and be charming.
From the part that I watch, it seemed like you know your demographic. You talk to them. You're in their zone. You're like, you know, I'm not quite 50. I'm just a little off. My husband is in his 50s.
Right.
And so I can understand from his perspective the challenges you were talking about these old people things. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pops, or what was your name? Papa?
Papa, yeah.
Papa. I mean, Papa's got some things going on. And so, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. But then, and I'm going to mention this, I know, DMA audience, Tim is going to get to be on Sidetracked and we're going to record with Cynthia. And, there's one thing I'm going to bring up there, but I'm also going to bring up here. You talk about your comedy is basically like live your life, take notes, and then tell strangers. Like, you're just basically paying attention to life. And to me, that's what happened when we started our Sidetrack show. Was I just started noticing the funny that was already in my life.
Right.
And it actually became like this interesting gratitude list.
Yeah.
This, a different way to do gratitude was more like finding the funny of my life. Brought levity that I was missing in this season of teen parenting teens. Anyway, so yeah. I did love when you said that. I was like, that is totally it.
The more success you'll be more successful, the more you can relate to people. And when I started writing comedy, I was writing what I thought was funny, what I thought was witty. And I was getting more bigger laughs when I was just telling them real things. This is what my mom really used to say. This is what my dad really used to do. This is something my wife actually said. This is, you know, and yeah, you embellish a little bit and you kind of, condense it into a, you know, a funny experience. But most, I would just say, I know it works with comedy. It probably would works with what you're doing too, is just you write out of passion. Something that disappoints you, something confuses you, something that makes you really happy, like the Chick-fil-A song I wrote. It's that feeling when you want Chick-fil-A and you forget it's Sunday and you're in the parking lot and you have this explosion in your head. So I believe that pretty much everybody who knows Chick-fil-A has had that experience. So there's probably something there.
Yeah. Well, and the song you wrote about, these are some things you don't say to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
We need what should a wife not say to her husband? have you been asked that?
You know what? I don't think that song would be as long. I don't think guys really cares, really care as much. Probably, we don't like comparisons, you know, mm-hmm. We don't like being compared to, oh, this guy's yard is a lot nicer. Or that guy, he got a bigger bouquet of flowers for her, whatever. We don't like that.
Did you see what Sally's husband got her for her anniversary? Yeah.
Right.
Those kinds of things. Yeah. Well,
yeah. That kind of pushes a button, I think.
Yeah.
But I could probably write the wife song 4 or 5 times with different verses, you know, like, okay. And I'll tell you this one, and don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me, but.
Oh, can't control it. Can't control it.
But I had this experiment as far as what not to say to your wife, like when she's telling me a story and then I stop her and I say, what are you going on about?
No.
You see that? Nope. You learn that. I part of me thinks it's really funny, but part of me is, no, it's very volatile. And I don't know.
Have you seen the videos? I think it's from Key and Peele where they're like, shut up, mom.
Yeah.
Like that wouldn't probably be good.
Right.
Like,
No, it wouldn't.
These are not things you say to your wife. Never, ever.
Yeah.
Those are pretty obvious. Y'all, if you have never checked out Tim Hawkins' YouTube channel, there's a lot of great content there for years and years and years of content. And then go on Amazon Prime and y'all can just pull up. You can buy it. You can rent it. I found out, if you rent it and you start it, you have 168 hours to finish it.
Yeah. It's taking a little bit.
Who does their math? Who knows? We did some math. That's 7 days. You have 7 days. You can just buy it. And then you can just keep rewatching when friends come over. You're like, hey, let's laugh together. Because here's the deal. Laughter. We need that right now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're on like the front lines right now in this cultural moment we're having?
Yeah, I don't think there's any depression or any kind of downtime for comedy. I mean, it's like when things are bad, that's when it gets actually better.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be nice in that if gas prices were lower and that a newly married couple could get into a house without spending $400,000. That'd be really nice.
Here it's $1.5 million.
It's ridiculous. And we got some big fish to fry. It's once again, I'm very grateful. I still have I'm just very grateful for being able to do this. And I know what it's like to struggle. I mean, I didn't go full time till I was 33 doing this. So I know I was humiliated that I couldn't find jobs that I could really feel like I made a difference. Like if I wasn't there, big deal, whatever, Tim's not here. That finding something that I could, okay, I'm going to stand in front of 2,000 people. I'm going to drive the bus and I know what I'm doing. There's a good, it makes me feel good. And it makes me feel glad that I didn't quit and that I took it seriously and I worked hard at it. And I just made adjustments and it's very fulfilling and I'm very, very grateful for it.
Well, we're grateful for you. Thank you for bringing more joy and laughter to all of us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bebop Doodoo. Okay. And y'all go check out Fist Bump and go check out our sidetrack conversation that we're going to have with Tim over there. If you forgot that I have this other show that I do, I barely ever mention it, but I do have that. If you need more laughter in your life and you're a menopausal woman, go check it out. But thank you, Tim, for joining me.
You're welcome, Heather. And notice I didn't ask you what you were going on about ever.
Not once. Thank you. Pat that back.
Right on.
All right. Thanks for joining Tim and I today. And definitely, if you've never checked out my other podcast, Sidetracked, go check it out. It's in all your podcast players, Spotify, iTunes. It's me and my friend Cynthia Yanoff. We do an episode every other week, and then we have a Super Tracker episode that people join us on those off weeks. So my conversation with Cynthia and Tim and I goes live this Friday, so you can check that out. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you did provide a beautiful experience for Tim to relate to you and for his faith to flourish, and that he doesn't have a heart that's turned away from you, and that he can use his gifts to bring joy to those around him. I thank you for how you have prompted him over the years to choose family and set aside travel for a period of time. I pray over his current comedy special that you would use it to bring laughter into homes and just some beauty. And Lord, and just joy, that we can laugh at life, that we can take note of the good around us with gratitude, even when things are messy and ridiculous, that we can pay attention and that we can just have levity when things can feel really heavy. And I pray, Lord, we would release our parenting to you, that we would not be stuck in a results-oriented mindset, but that we can trust that you are the ultimate one who holds the outcome, and that that journey to get there is all in your hands. And I pray over the person listening right now, I pray that that message would really go where they need it to go in their heart and their soul, and that their trust in you and their faith in you only grows. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, this week I recorded so many episodes. I'm so excited to share with you. But next week is one of our top 10 episodes that, you know, we've been doing that this year where we replay. And it is my conversation with Mary Flo Ridley and Megan Michelson of Birds and Bees. If you've never listened, or if you know someone who has never heard, definitely one to share. And then, y'all, I get to bring on Babs Costello, Brunch with Babs, and David and Thomas and Sissy Goff are coming back on, and so many fun things. So if you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do that right now so that you get episodes when they come out and you don't miss them and you get the encouragement you need. And just a reminder that you do not mom alone. All right. I'll see you back here next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.